It's good to see you. It looks like we're having a little bit of a low week, but I'm really thankful that you're here, and I think that the Lord is going to bless our time as we consider this topic of technology. Let me just pray for us, and then we've got loads to talk about. Let's just bow our heads and pray. So, Lord, we come before you, and we submit our lives to you. We desire to be yours and to grow closer to you. In our hearts, we cry, closer, Lord, to you. We want to not waste our lives, and so we're looking for you to fill us up with fullness and with hope. We're longing to hear what you would say to us. We're investing in the eternal. So now we pray that our discussion about technology would be useful, that we would enjoy time in your word and enjoy what you would say. In your name, amen. So I remember, this was quite a while ago, at least 20 years ago, I had a time where both my laptop and my cell were out of order, were broke. And one of them broke, and I think I lost the other one, as I recall. And so my laptop broke, and my cell phone stopped working or was lost or something. And this was a big deal back in the day, I suppose, in one sense. And so in order to get your laptop fixed, you had to take it to a repair person, and it was going to be like 2 to 3 weeks, really. You'd walk in, and they say, okay, we'll see you in 2 to 3 weeks, and we'll have this working again, and it was going to be at least that amount of time to get a new phone. I think I would have to save up for the phone. I wasn't in a place where I could just go and get another one. But you know what? It really didn't matter at the time. I wasn't bothered one bit. All it meant for me is that I was going to need to type out a couple of papers on some machine somewhere, I guess. Other than that, nothing much really changed other than, well, I got to use the landline. Who uses the landline, right? I got to go use the landline to talk to people. Now, fast forward to today. this last year I actually have had the computer stop working. Sometimes it stops working on Sunday, which is terrific. I've lost my phone, or I had my phone stop working. Literally everything grinds to a halt now. I mean, literally, your whole world, just one of those, and I'm just miserable. Any of you guys else do this, where they're walking along and they suddenly feel like an emptiness in their pocket? They're like, oh, where is it? It's gone, my precious, right? It's gone. I need this, right? And you go looking, and you're worried, and you're bothered. Where's my phone? Where's my phone? Where's my phone? And what do we have, just in case we have this situation? We have Find My Phone app, right? And so we say, I got this. And we're going to find it, because it cannot be 5 minutes that we are without our program. And so this is very interesting thing that has happened. Your computer, I actually think I couldn't do my work, and I'm not in the tech industry, without my computer. You know, mine broke down, and we instantly got another one. I mean, Brian was like, let's go get one today. When my other one was not working, we'll go get it. We'll go get another one right now. So it's amazing to think how this technology has advanced in a very small amount of time. And it's also amazing to think that I am now utterly reliant upon it. And I'm utterly dependent upon this technology. It's not like I go driving, right? I used to drive all the time with a map in hand. And, you know, if I got lost, I would ask directions. Now, I'm not even going to go anywhere if my phone doesn't have enough power so I can see where I'm supposed to go with Google Maps. It's like they own me. So today we're talking about technology in the Bible. It's been so lovely, Martin. I've really enjoyed hearing all those little facts and things that I didn't know about half of that. And it's very interesting to see. Does the Bible mention our technology? Well, yes, it does. Psalms 81, verses 11 through 12. I have it up on the board in case it's not worth turning to. Here it is. My people would not listen to me, and Israel would not obey me, so I gave them up to their stubborn hearts to follow their own devices. There we are, right there. Okay. So, yes, this is a joke in case anybody's wondering. Yes. So, we never see the word technology in the Bible. It's a newer word, isn't it? But its presence actually is all over the Bible. So, for instance, actually, this book, at least the first five books of the Bible, what we would call the Torah, Pentateuch, what we would call the Torah, the Pentateuch, this was an incredible technological innovation. Whatever do you mean? Well, so spoken language has been around as long as humans have been around. And it actually, the spoken language goes through the exact same processes everywhere. There's certain things that always happen with spoken language. Even if they're different in different places, we've always had spoken language. But written language is a technology. It's a technology. It's something that we've worked on. And we've let it. It's become smoother and more useful. Just the same way that, like, you know, a programming language. So back in the day, you've got one programming language, but then there's another one that's a better iteration, and another one that's a better iteration. It gets better and better and more easy to do the sort of things you want to do. More powerful. Well, the same thing has happened with languages, actually, written languages. And so, actually, a group that we read about in the Bible, the Jewish people, the Hebrews living in Israel, in Egypt, they took the writing system of that day, which was Egyptian pictographs, and they thought, I'm going to take this, I'm going to change it up, and they did something called phonetics, where they took their own language, and then they took the pictographs from Egypt, and they kind of just used the sounds rather than the shape. And that was something totally different. And that different thing is all over the world now. Everybody uses it. Nobody doesn't use phonetics. It very likely came from them. And we know this especially because of one of the latest things that's happened in archaeology, which is the curse tablet that goes back to almost Moses. But anyway, we've talked about this a little bit. That was a technology, and that technology allowed them to do something kind of crazy, which is write out all this stuff that God commanded in a way that most people could actually learn to read it. Before that, you had to be a specialist in order to be able to read anything. And so an incredible, incredible technology. And technology is not bad. In the Bible, we also have agriculture, metallurgy, warfare, ship and house construction, all of these things. They talk about iterations in the Bible, about the different technologies and how they're progressing along. And so the first thing that we kind of note is that the Bible isn't telling us that we ought to all be Amish, yeah? We're not all to just kind of say, these things are evil, and I'm not going to have any of them, yeah? And I'm going to go and sit in my house, and no light, no electricity, I'll use a lamp, and where's my cart and horse, right? We don't have to do that. The Bible is very positive, for the most part, in talking about technology. It's only when we make that thing our God that God says, no, wait a minute, maybe that's a bit too far. But we'll get into that in just a minute. So that's a little background. Now let's talk about how technology has really shaped our world profoundly right now. Okay, so how much has tech shaped our lives in the last 20 to 30 years? It is ridiculous how much technology is really shaped our lives and shaped the world around us. It is kind of, I would say it's probably the number one influence in our behavior. Then that's a pretty powerful idea. Technology has actually shaped us behavioral-wise more than almost anything else. Okay, so how did I come to that? Well, let's just begin with Amazon Alexa. Alexa. So what is Alexa? I have a picture behind me here. So Alexa is actually, no, that was the right one. You guys see the little circular thing there? That's Alexa, or they call it Dot if they have different names. What is it? Well, you put each of these in your different rooms in your house, and then when you walk along and you want, you know, the door to open, you say, Alexa, open the door. Open the door opens, and Alexa, order me some milk. Alexa orders you milk. Alexa, turn the lights low. Alexa, you know, make chill the wine in the fridge. So Alexa is basically this device that you walk around and you just, it's in every room in your house, and you just tell Alexa what you want to do. Now, if any of you watch Star Trek, you'll know that this was, Alexa was in Star Trek, okay? But this was supposed to be hundreds of years later, right? They had this device that would talk to you, and they would tell you, you know, you could just ask them to do anything and it would do it. Well, that's what Alexa is supposed to be. But listen, that technology now is in every corner of your life. And that's interesting. That's worth thinking about. Everywhere you go, Alexa is listening. And also, she is influencing you. And so that's what I want us to be thinking about. The way that tech has influenced our life. That's a shocking idea for someone who lived 30 years ago, that you would have all this technology so close to you and you would be on it so much. At the turn of the 20th century, cars began to be mass-produced. And this was an incredible cultural change. Before this, most people never left their country. That was a lot of work to leave your country and go somewhere else. Most people didn't go further than 40 miles away. And suddenly, there was this device that meant that you could drive all over the country, you could go to foreign countries, you could spend your, during the weekends, you suddenly didn't say, let's go to the park, you said, let's go down to the national park, right? We can drive by the coast. It opened up so much different things that had never been there before. There were bikes, people used bikes for the most part, they all disappeared. Okay, they all disappeared. And it was a sea change for behavior. We looked at life differently because, hey, listen, in 30 minutes, I can be somewhere. I have so much freedom. Listen, there is a greater sea change of technology now in the last 20 years because of cell phones and laptops and how we do life. We are in our tech and it has totally changed the atmosphere. Imagine what life was like before. You guys were all here. Remember, there was before cell phones and after cell phones. And things have really, really changed. How have they changed? I'm going to give you some negative ones first, but then we're going to bring it back, okay? So here are some of the negatives to our technology. The first one is death of silence. Death of silence. You know, the older generations had a lot of time to think in quietness. A lot of the jobs that they had, they could think and just sit and contemplate as they were doing their jobs. But we don't have a moment for silence. I remember when I was younger, I was in Colorado and I would go skiing a lot. And so what happens is I would get on the ski lift and then you've got, you know, about 10 minutes of going up on the ski lift. And as you go up, you have silence, and you would just sit there and think about life. Okay, how's this going? How'd that go? That would never happen today. Why? Right? Let's see what's going on. Let's see how my team is doing. Let's see if there's any news. Let's see. See, it just fills every inch of our life with something, and there's no moment for anything else. People were talking about technology 20 years ago, and they're saying, we are going to be less busy. This was the idea. This technology is going to free up so much free time. It has done the reverse, okay? We have less time and we have, we go home. And what it used to be when we would go home from work, what did that mean? It meant that nothing was happening regarding work until you came into the office at 8:30 or 9 o'clock. That's what it meant. Now, You take work with you right home, right? You get emails, emergency situation. No emergency situations like that ever happened before. It was like, they called your phone. You probably wouldn't answer if it wasn't work hours. There's no time to breathe. We're busier than ever. The technology has filled all of the gaps so that no one has a moment to say, am I spending my life the right way? Don't think about that. Watch this TV show, right? Don't think about that. Look at this program. And so this is a big deal. we never stop to wonder where we're going. Shorter attention spans, this kind of comes along. This is a very interesting thing. So the internet is quick, bite-sized packets of information. And it's made that way. They want to hold your attention, and so they have to do things to get your attention for a short amount of time and get you what you want. And so it's dazzling, it has special effects, and that actually has created in us a shorter attention span, particularly for younger people. They have shorter attention spans than their predecessors. Why? Because, well, we cater to that. We've designed all our tech to follow that. If you go to YouTube, it's interesting how YouTube works. What happens is that people do outlandish and stupid things for viewership, okay? That's kind of like a picture of the whole internet. We want you to read. We want you to read so bad that we will do the very, you know, quickest and well-made little bit so that you'll notice us. But this is not a good way to develop wisdom. It's more just a selling thing that has become, well, just what we're like now. And there have been studies and of people's brains, and it's really clear that we have less attention now and less willingness to spend concentrated effort, and it goes back to what we consume in our technology. We are relationally shallow. Why? Because we let our phones interrupt everything. Yeah? Our phone goes off and have you ever had a conversation? You're talking to somebody and then you just, right? This is what happens. They're talking to you and this is in front of your face now, right? This is not good for relationships. People on dates, right? People walking outside. If I go through the countryside, I was having a lovely time driving through the countryside a few weeks back. Beautiful English countryside. It's so wonderful. And what is everybody else doing when I'm driving? Well, what would have happened in the past is everybody else would be maybe talking and looking. Now what are they doing? We're on our phones. We're on our phones. We're looking at this. We're looking at that. Used to have long conversations for dinner, and this is where your primary desire to know and be known would come out. Every day you'd have dinner with your family, you would talk, but that's gone. It's hard to get people to come to the table at all at once and to have those conversations because they're on their social network. Now that's ironic, isn't it? I'm not being social because I'm on Facebook. Well, I just want the face, right? I don't want the book. But this is where we're at. These are incredible things that have changed. This one's interesting. Thinking in the box. We think more in the box because of automation. Now, here's how it works. The studies indicate that what happens is when we automate a process, our brains say, okay, that's taken care of. That's how it works. Now I'll focus on other things. We don't bother to understand how the automation works. We just say, it's been automated, so I don't have to worry about it. And what this leads to is that there's no sort of rethinking about how you do things. It's just we become, in one sense, we become stupider. We don't need to understand that. I'm just going to focus on the other pieces. And so indications of like groupthink, this is what happens. Well, we press the button on the machine and it does it. And so we don't worry about it. And it leads to just not thinking in a way that will lead to innovation and lead to kind of the correct courses of action. Two more, I think. Large waste of resources. You hit on this. So if you go, there's a place called the Smoky Mountains in America. And when you drive in the Smoky Mountains in America, there's these beautiful forests and these lovely rolling mountains. Like many of these mountains have no top anymore. And they've mined the top of the mountain off. And it's coal. They want coal. And so the question is, why do you want coal? And the answer is, for electricity. They want to power phones and laptops and lights, and the strain on our system is quite a bit higher now. We want a lot of electricity. And so everyone who has a cell phone, everyone who has these different things, that actually has a big cost. And the cost is stuff like that, where they're strip mining somewhere, okay? There is a cost. Now listen, we want to go to 5G networks. Have you guys heard this? 5G networks. 5G networks is crazy. 5G networks is, let's have your light talk to your refrigerator, talk to your door. Everything is supposed to be a smart technology talking to each other, and your phone, and a lot of other things. And people want to do this. So that's loads more electricity. Loads more electricity, but not just more electricity. It's actually, there's a finite amount of resources that we get from China, metals, very specific metals that go into chips. And all of these metals, number one, they're called rare earth metals. And they're not easy to come by. And there's really not enough for everyone to have tons and tons and tons and tons of gadgets. So everything can talk to everything else. I've been looking at, there's an advertisement that I keep saying is seeing as I am driving in my car. And it says, get our network. And you can have 100 items on the network, right? 100 items on the Wi-Fi. That's what it's claiming, you know? I mean, that's nuts, okay? That's a lot of electricity. That's a lot of metal. Do we all really need this when it creates so much waste for the environment? Is that what we should really go for? Okay, so those are some negatives, changes that have happened around us. Big effects. Technology has affected everything, going right down to how you react and relate to other people. Yeah, it's affected us. So we asked the question, is tech then good or bad? Is it bad, Tim? Is it bad? No, it depends on how you use it. So in the Bible, there's this story, you guys know it, the Tower of Babel. So in the tower, in the story with the Tower of Babel, you've got people, and they say at the beginning, let us bake bricks and make mortar. Now, that's an interesting statement. It's the Sumer culture, which is the earliest culture in the world, really. The earliest city-building culture. And up until that point, they made bricks, but they did not fire them. They didn't know that if you could fire bricks. In fact, the way that they figured it out is that they would make bricks, and in the middle they would have their wood fire. And then somebody at some point said, oh my goodness, actually these stones are much harder underneath the wood fire. This could be a useful building structure. And so this is how we got fired bricks, okay, wood-fired bricks. And so they begin to build this giant tower. Well, this is all fine technology so far. This is great. Build a strong building. But then they say, let us build it to the heavens. Right? We'll be just right up there with God, and God will never ever flood the world like he flooded it before. Okay, this is the idea. We'll be safe, we'll be in the heavens, we'll tell God we're just as great as you are. And so this is something that is terrible from a technology which was good. And so technology is beneficial if you use it in the right way, but if you don't, then it becomes bad. A third of the internet is devoted to pornography, okay? We could say, let's just throw out all the computers. That's the most horrible thing I've ever heard, okay? But actually, it's a technology which isn't good or bad. It's just being used for bad. And so here are some positives. We live much, much longer lives, and it is entirely due to technology. We live much longer lives. It's entirely due to technology. We are interconnected in wonderful ways. When I was 18 years old, I went to Spain on a mission trip. And while I was there, we didn't have money to afford to call all the way to America. And so I wrote like two letters during my, almost 3 months there to my parents. And it took 3 weeks for each letter to get there and to get back. And so you can see how it worked out. But now what happens? I talk to my parents every week. And I see them face to face. And it's a wonderful thing. Technology has brought us together in that sense. It has made everything better. The roads we drive on are smoother. All the things, the chairs that we sit on, they're not more well-made than they were 30 years ago. But they'll do, and they look nice, and we're about to get new ones. Technology has done wonderful things. People who cannot come to the church can watch us live online. Not this week, but some weeks, right? It's amazing what technology has done. It's not bad, but it could be used for bad. And so we need wisdom. All right, so tech has profoundly changed our lives. It would be used for good or bad. So there are ideas from the Bible that can kind of help how we regulate our use of technology. And that's what we need to think about as we get ready to leave this place in a bit. I need to regulate my use of technology. And I'm going to let the Bible do that. If we walk out of here and we say, well, technology is very interesting, but we haven't decided how to regulate our use of technology, then we're just going to be passive receivers of everything that it offers. And some of it, what it offers, is not what we wish. Okay? So let's look at a couple of verses now. First is 1 Corinthians 10:23. I have them right in back of me. So there it is, 1 Corinthians 10:23. I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. No one should seek their own good, but the good of others. Kind of a bad translation, to be honest. It actually says in the Greek something closer to, all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, not all things build up. Let me explain the situation that Paul spoke out of. So Paul has a number of people in a church, and they want to buy cheap meat. They want to buy cheap food. That's their desire. And so they're like all of us. We want a deal. We go to Tesco. Most of us will look for a deal. And so what they discovered is that there is a group of meat that is low priced. And there's no question. They have no idea where that meat comes from. But some people say, actually, we know where that came from. That came from the temple over there where they sacrifice to pagan gods. And the Christian says, I don't care. Those gods don't exist. Give me the meat, right? Give me my burger. I'm hungry, right? Who cares? Everybody knows there's just one God. So some people were saying that. Who cares about my behavior? Because, you know, I know the truth. And what Paul is saying is, actually, hold on. You need to think about what you take in regards to everybody else. You need to think about what you take in, how it's going to affect everyone else. So your choices can affect other people. Now, I would say that this is a great rule for technology. How will my use of technology affect other people? Chances are, a fair bit of it, you've never thought of. And I've mentioned some of them, okay? I've mentioned things that you may have thought, I've not heard that before. You need to use your technology in a way that will bless other people. Bless other people. And yes, you can get fed too. But you're thinking about others. And we're going to see that this is kind of the principle that goes through all of these statements. Think about others. Think about God. Think about others. 1 Timothy 4:4 says, for everything God created is good. Nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. So let me give you a little bit of background about this. Some people were saying in the church, you are going to be a holy person and a righteous person if you abstain from eating this, this, and this. Maybe it was pork and shellfish, whatever it was, yeah? And so they were saying, you should not eat those, right? You should not have that, right? And Paul says, well, no, it doesn't really matter whether you eat shellfish or pork or whatever you eat. What really matters is if you will receive that, if you can receive that with thanksgiving. So this is a great principle. Can I partake of this thing and say with a sincere heart, God really is okay with me having this, and I'm thankful that he gave it to me, right? This is a gift from God. I'm thankful for it. I'm really happy that I can have this. I apply that idea to technology. What's the benefit that God gave this to me and I can thank him for it? Or does this have no benefit for me? In which case, is it really something that I should thank God for? No, maybe I shouldn't have that at all. So this is a good rule for how you look at things. One more, and then we'll look at a big rule. Psalms 27 says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we believe in the name of the Lord our God. So for the ancient people, their technology was their savior, and their technology was chariots and horses. Actually, it was very important in the ancient world, horse breeding. We don't care about it anymore, but you would try to breed the strongest stallion. And this was a big deal because you could go into war and your animal wasn't going to get tired and you were maneuverable. It's like having a really great tank that moves around a lot and does stuff. Okay, and so and some trust in chariots. Well, that was a big technology. Getting the chariot to work, you know, and the wheels and how the whole thing worked and able to turn and able, that was a huge deal for warfare. And so people would look to warfare and they'd say, look, I have the chariots, I got the horses, I got my technology in place, and it is going to save me. And actually, there's a load of people here and in America and all over the world who believe that our technology really is going to deliver salvation. That we're going to get more knowledge, we're going to get more information, and it's going to lead to cleaner and cleaner and better worlds that are happier and happier, and perhaps we'll even escape death. In fact, there's a group of people who believe that towards the end of their life, that their brains are going to basically be uploaded to a server, and they're going to kind of live on in the server forever. We've seen, you know, movies about this kind of idea. It's somebody has said it's the rapture of the nerds. It's the rapture of the nerds. Listen, technology cannot save you. Technology cannot save you. Technology shouldn't be the thing that you trust in. The Lord can save you. The Lord, you can put your trust in Him. Okay, so there's a few verses on using tech thoughtfully. Now, I'd like to share a general principle that you can apply to how much and how you integrate technology into your life. And it comes from Mark 12:18. So that one we can turn to. Mark 12:18. It's page 1016, and then we'll be able to close our time after that. And actually, I'll take some questions if we have any questions. The chief priests and the teachers of the law heard this, and they began looking for a way to kill him, for they feared, because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching. Oh boy, this is not it. Maybe it's 28.
12:18 to 20.
Oh, yes, it is. I'm in chapter 11. There you go. Nope, that's not it either.
It's on the screen.
What did I do?
12?
No, that's not it. I think it is 28. That's right. Okay, 28, I'm sorry. This is what it says, 28. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked them, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is like it, or the second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these two. So we've talked about these verses before. The idea is that the entire law, all of what God wants us to do, is wrapped up in loving God and loving others and making the grace of God known, okay? All of the law is wrapped up in loving God and loving others. And this is a great way to think about your tech. When you go to use your tech, ask this question. Will this show love for God? Can I use this to show love for others? Can I use this to show the grace of God? Is there any benefit for anyone besides myself? And this is really important. Technology, it turns out, we can use it quite selfishly. It caters to that. It says, enjoy, and then don't worry about anybody else. And we want to flip that and say, this is a tool that I can use to please God and to love others. So a great example of how to think about this. I love my son, and I've decided that I do not want him to look up at his dad and see this. Right? Which just says, you're not important to me. This is important to me. They say there's no love there. And what that means is that I'll use my phone. Yeah, I'll use my phone, but I'm not going to use it when it would interfere with my ability to love my son. Now, if I'm taking directions, that's a great use my technology. You know, put it up there so I don't crash. It's all about loving God and loving others, and we need to say it's not all about, here it is, it's not all about entertainment. It's not all about being constantly entertained, okay? Entertainment is okay. We should entertain ourselves in moderation, in conjunction with all of the things that God wants us to do in the world. So we entertain ourselves, and we rest, and maybe we use the technology, but we use it in a way that is, this is a season, right? Because I'm doing these other things for the Lord, and I'm doing these other things for others, and I'm going to use the technology for that, and I'm going to minimize it where it has no use other than to entertain me, and keep my attention, right? So we have to choose to not be instantly entertained, and instead, what? Live for the Lord's glory. Live for others. And then on that idea, right, we have Jesus said, whoever sins is a slave to sin. And technology can be exactly like that for us. Now, up here I have an example here. So here it says, does everyone, I'm just going to tell you, who knows what this is already? I think Sean knows what this is. Yeah? What does that say? How many hours am I on every day? I'm on my phone 3 hours every day. That's according to that. Every time I see that, I can't believe it. Does this count? If I hold it up like this, is it like, is that what's going on? It's absolutely unbelievable to me that I'm on that much. And it's like the tech is saying, I own you. I own you. You're mine, Prisman. No, I already belong to Jesus. I'm going to use this thing for the uses that are good to help and to love others and to love God. It turns out that I read my Bible on it. I do some other things. So that's part of it. But I'm not going to use it just to be selfish. So that's how I would want to encourage us at the end. Let us love God. Let us love others. And then, yes, we need time for leisure. Okay, I'm not saying just cut that all out. Especially if that time for leisure involves somebody else, like you watch with somebody, that's fantastic. Yeah? But all in its place. 3.5 hours a day, I'm thinking, what else could I be doing with that for God's kingdom? Maybe if it said an hour, I'd be like, okay, fine. I use it an hour a day. That's great. But 3 hours, it's ruling me. Okay? And so I would say, yeah, use it for an hour. And then what? Focus on everybody else. Focus on the love of God. All right, so that is my talk on technology. I probably haven't answered all of your questions. Any questions? Anything we would like to ask about this? Kind of a sharp thing at the end, a hard thing to accept. Yeah.